Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent, technology and tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising, production, and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. You never know where we are going to find the guests that we have on the Business News Hour. And Ryan Anderson and I met just about a week ago at a Greater Des Moines Partnership event here in downtown Des Moines. And Ryan is a professor of economics at Grandview University, where he's been working for the past 7 years or so. And we got to talking about economics and wealth and what he's teaching students at Grandview, what students don't know when they come to school. And I thought this would be an interesting piece of insight for those of you who may not be paying attention to this kind of stuff. Ryan, welcome to the Business News Hour.
Well, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming. And it was a stunning conversation that we had a couple of days ago about what goes on with in public schools, and by the time kids get to Grandview, what they know or they don't know when it comes to financial matters. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should clarify, I teach a personal finance class. And so, you know, on a daily basis, I see some of the effects of students not having that financial literacy, if you will, prior to coming into college. You know, one of the biggest challenges, I think, is that in the K-12 pipeline, there's not any typically formal requirements for financial literacy. You know, it used to be years ago sort of indirectly and sometimes formally embedded in the curriculum, but it's sort of as other things have
kind of disappeared.
It's kind of disappeared.
Well, you know, I think we were talking about that when I was in school back, of course, you know, I went to a one-room school and we just had McGuffey readers, and you know, I mean, back in the 1800s when I was in school, we had home ec. but seriously, we did have home ec in the 50s and the 60s, sure, and the 70s, and mm-hmm, and some of that was taught. Some financial literacy was taught, at least how to balance a checkbook.
Absolutely, it's not.
It's
anymore.
Gone. Yeah,
and we're so reliant on technology, whether it be automatic bill pay or debit cards or, you know, Square, PayPal, everything's automated, it seems like. And so there's an underlying assumption that you don't have to learn those skill sets. Well, the problem is, you know, you can't just jump from A to Z without learning all the intermediate steps, but they're not taught.
Right. So what are some of the biggest challenges that are facing some of the young people that come to your class?
I mean, I think a big one is mounting college debt loads. So as of last year, $1.3 trillion in college debt nationally. It actually surpassed credit card debt for the first time.
And Iowa is one of the heaviest debt-laden states in the nation.
Correct. About 30,000 on average, which is it's unfortunately it's a financial albatross around the neck of many of these students.
Explain how that works. Why is it a financial albatross?
Well, essentially what happens is it actually creates sort of socioeconomic delays in their professional trajectory. So what we find is a lot of students will end up either moving home, frankly, because they can't, or they'll rent longer, which has that delay has a negative impact on like the housing market and on economic development in general.
Yeah. And these are and the thing about student debt, if I understand this correctly, you can't renegotiate the price. You can't necessarily, and it doesn't ever leave you. I mean, it follows you to death, I think.
It's not just, it's about the only kind of debt that's not dischargeable in bankruptcy. Yeah.
So that is one of the issues that you're seeing students have to deal with.
Correct.
What other financial things don't they know that they are maybe surprised to learn about?
I think a lot of it comes down to at least hidden fees, hidden textbook costs. I mean, once they hit college, I think they think there's just this sort of, you know, flat rate, right? That it's all bundled together. But, you know, when they start looking under the hood, they forget about textbook costs, you know, technology fees, stuff like that. Another thing I found is that they're unfamiliar with some basic terms like subsidized versus unsubsidized when it comes to the loans, meaning interest, right?
Really?
So is the interest being paid? Very key question. Is the interest being paid for you while you're sitting there for those 4 or 5 years? Or is it just getting tacked
that
on? Correct.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, of course, it is just it's unsubsidized and it's just, you know, it's stacking and they're not aware of it.
And what is the typical interest rate on student loans?
Great question. It really does range. On federal, it can be pretty good, 3 to 5%. But on private, it can get up to 18 to 20%. Mm. And that's where and that's another problem is a lot of times students will use. What I see is a lot of students use their college loans to pay for daily living, frankly, going out to eat or, you know, going out to the movies or whatever for their social life. And to an extent, that's when they really start to get into problems. Instead of working a part-time job or, frankly, just, you know, cutting back on those expenditures, they live life like they're a middle-class American.
Yeah, so if they've got $20,000 in student loans, they say, whoopee, here we go.
Right, because they don't realize that that's a 20-25-year repayment process.
Yeah, a 20 or 25 right. repayment process. And when you start down that path, if you're already entering the workforce with that kind of debt,
right.
you know, it's really hard to dissolve that. Unless you choose to live with the folks or you get a good job and you just save and right. pay as long as you possibly can. Yep. And you better hope for a good paying job.
Exactly.
Yeah. His name is Ryan Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. He teaches personal finance at Grandview University for the past 7 years. What's the most fun thing about your job?
Just the mentoring of students. I love it.
Yeah.
I have a very, very, very strong passion for being able to try to make a positive impact on my students and helping them find – we like to use the term vocation at Grandview, so they're kind of the marrying of their life's purpose with their professional trajectory.
Now, the background of Grandview University is what? Where does that stem from?
Grandview itself is an ELCA school. It's a
Evangelical Lutheran Church of America.
Lutheran mm-hmm. school, yep. And it's been around for a long time. It was a seminary, believe it or not, at one point, 100, I think, plus years ago, if memory serves correctly. And then they started offering 2-year degrees until the 70s. And our first 4-year degree, I believe, was in 1971 or 1972, and that was nursing.
Hmm.
That was our first 4-year degree.
Very nice. And now you guys span the spectrum over there.
Oh, we've just in the business department, which is where I teach alone, we have probably 500 or 600 students, probably 8 or 9 majors, you know, all in. We have 2 grad programs, so it's been really neat to see Grandview really explode, frankly.
And you know, we were at the Student Center over at Grandview for the Greater Des Moines Partnership's annual legislative welcoming party. It's the first legislative event outside of Gaveling to Order each year, and the partnership had their event at the Student Center over at Grandview. What a beautiful building that is.
It is, and the students love it. It's been a real boon.
So where do the students come from to Grandview?
Good question. I mean, by and large, we're an Iowa Midwest, you know, centric university still. But we, as our sports programs have grown and become more nationally renowned within NAIA, we have quite a few student athletes that will come from California, Texas, because our football coach spent some time in Texas. So there's some good recruiting
All
pipelines.
All football coaches, I think, spend some time in Texas.
As they should. Friday Night Lights, you know.
There you go. What about immigrant students? Are there a cadre of people from other countries?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. We are definitely becoming more international in scope. Just in the last couple of years, we've expanded our agreements with different colleges in China, Denmark, working on one in Japan. So there's a lot of exciting things in the works in terms of giving our students more of a cross-cultural experience and vice
Absolutely.
Versa.
So, yeah, and yep. that is such a great experience for people to investigate and invigorate them, get involved in other cultures, because it's a great opportunity to expand your cultural reference points.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Ryan Anderson is with us. He is a professor of finance over at Grandview University for the past 7 years. But that's not all you do.
That's correct.
yeah. You're just taking these young minds and filling them with all kinds of good stuff, but you also do other stuff.
I do like to keep busy. I'm on a few local nonprofit boards. In addition to that, I run a consulting business called No Coast Consulting.
No Coast Consulting. Now, tell us about that.
Absolutely. So it's kind of predicated on 2 areas of development. One is for career coaching and career advising. So, for example, if someone is in need of a resume or some interview coaching or help with a LinkedIn profile, very much able and willing to assist them in that, finding that next professional, opportunity. also on as well as that, I help small business owners and entrepreneurs with small, like writing small business plans or strategic planning. What I found is a lot of very, very passionate, very, very bright mm-hmm. small business owners may have that passion, but they need a little bit of business acumen to kind of help them put pen to paper.
Well, most of the time, business people are concerned about whatever their business is. If I'm making self-weasel winding torque inducers or widgets or whatever it happens to be,
right.
That's what I know.
Correct.
I don't know much about finance, maybe. I don't know much about marketing, maybe. I don't know much about creating a workable business plan. So, yeah, I can see where there would be a need for that. Ryan Anderson, No Coast Consulting. Why'd you call it No Coast?
Great question. Well, I am a big fan. I was born in Quincy, but more or less raised in Iowa, very much a Midwest guy. And a lot of times you see these, every East Coast and West Coast, of course, get a lot of, spotlights and attention.
Sure.
And I really just like the kind of the Midwest colloquial of No Coast.
No Coast. Yeah. So you're just hanging out here in the Midwest.
That's
now,
right.
Now, what would be your typical star business opportunity? I mean, who's your sweet spot?
For on the small business side,
yeah.
I would say probably someone that is in the very early stages,
mm-hmm.
Because frankly, most of the time they're the ones that need funding or they need that business plan, right? Like maybe they've got their idea, maybe they've got the website and maybe some basic social media infrastructure, but they really want to take it to the next level, but they're going to need some either SBA loans or some bank backing to do that.
Right.
So that would be kind of more of a target.
And you can kind of help them navigate some of those things?
Absolutely.
Great.
Small Business Administration looks for something different than maybe a commercial bank.
Yeah, they certainly do. And if you know the people in the positions, you can at least make that connection. That's so important. It really
Absolutely.
Is. We're talking with Ryan Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. He is an owner of No Coast Consulting, as well as a professor of independent financial studies at Grandview University for the past 7 years. Which job do you like the best? Or is that a bad question?
No, no.
Anybody listening from Grandview?
Earmuffs, no.
Yeah.
No, I love teaching. That's my first love. I was in the private sector for about 8 years before I got into higher ed. And I don't, I just love it. I don't see myself anywhere else.
But, one of the things, and you and I would share this passion, I always think that if you are good at whatever position or whatever business that you're in, I happen to be in the advertising and marketing world. And that is an offshoot of teaching because I hope to be able to take whatever broad-based bit of information that I have in those fields and try to help my clients, our clients, do a better job in selling stuff. So there is an educational component with that, whether it's in the social media world or whether it's in video or whether it's in a written word or photography, whatever it happens to be.
Correct.
So you really are, if you're approaching this from a business standpoint, but also with the hope that your clients do well or better.
Right. Absolutely.
You are teaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I once heard Ben Milne from Dwell fame say, my best day as a leader is if I've surrounded myself with smarter people than I am. And it's something I hold true to as well. If the people I work with are more capable, brighter, and that makes
just
me the
sit
best.
Sit and soak it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Well, it's interesting to learn more about Grandview and the personal finance thing I think is so necessary and one of those areas where we just don't do a very good job in the public school arena and sadly in many homes today.
Correct.
If we're all that's not there either, for a large part.
Well, and that's the problem because if you think about, when you're a young person, even a teenagers, those are formative years. Where, if you're not getting it at home, you're not learning it in the K-12 pipeline, where are you going to be exposed to reconciling a checkbook, to learning about, how a basic budget or a balance sheet works? If you're not going to have those sort of skill sets at that formative age, it just takes – it's kind of like a foreign language. The earlier you learn a foreign language, the easier it is to learn.
And how important that is, Ryan, because as you look to the future, anybody that can get sideways in their credit world – mm-hmm. you know, that's an albatross around their neck for a long, long time, and it takes forever sometimes to get that stuff cleaned up.
Absolutely. Up to 7 years for bankruptcy.
And so you just don't want – and bankruptcy, oh, my gosh. You know, people go into bankruptcy saying, well, you know, this is just fine. But at the same time, you know, good luck getting anything.
Exactly.
And understanding credit, understanding personal finance, it's amazing that we're now teaching this in college. And I guess you got to learn it somewhere.
And let me just say, more and more jobs are pulling credit scores.
This isn't
just about, you know, do you qualify for to take out debt and borrow from a bank. This is actually about your insurance rates, like your property and casualty insurance rates, as well as, especially if you're going to work in Des Moines, being an insurance financial services centric town, if you're going to work in some of those fields, more and more they're going to pull a background check because they look at that, your FICO credit score, as a proxy for how you approach
how
your
responsible
personal finance.
Are you?
Correct.
Yeah, it is tough. All right. His name is Ryan Anderson. He teaches finance over at Grandview University for the past 7 years and is the owner of something called No Coast Consulting. If you missed any of this conversation with Ryan, you won't for long because we'll have this up on our podcast page on the radio blog, and we will have links to all of those things right there. Ryan, thanks so much for taking time and coming out here and visiting with us.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Fortuitous meetings at the Greater Des Moines Partnership.
That's where it happens.
That is, you are so right. That is exactly where it happens. Oh, by the way, I should announce, and I'm a couple of days ahead of time on this, but a brand new sponsor for the Business News Hour is the Greater Des Moines Partnership.
Fantastic.
They have signed on after 3.5 years of us doing this, and they say, yeah, we want to be part of this as well, and we certainly will welcome them as of the 1st of February. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
All right. Ryan Anderson is his name. We will have all the links in the radio blog and the podcast in just a little bit. You can access that, by the way, on iTunes, on Podbean, or just go ahead and Google Insight on Business the News Hour, and we will be right there. Speaking about being right there, it's time to take a look at the Wall Street Report. That's next on the News Hour.